Good morning. It is a privilege for me to share God's word with you today. And I'm delighted that we could all worship together under one roof. We are one church. Two separate ministries, but we are one church, one family. So I really look forward to our joint worship so that we could be one family to worship God. When I first came to the church, there were a couple of things I was a little bit worried about. First was, how am I going to memorize all the names? But God answered my prayer. Okay, most of the session members have English names, and all the female elders and deacons' names are either Susan or Susie. So I said, thank you, Lord. You answer my prayer. Praise God. And many other names, many people have English names, and good, easy for me to memorize. Second thing I was a little bit worried about was the building project. Okay, I've been in charge of building projects before. In my former work, the company that moved warehouses we had to build a 5,000 square foot freezer and a 40,000 square foot warehouse and comply with all the building codes. And it was a nightmare. I know one thing for sure, that in the business of construction, the projects are always delayed and almost never on time. And when I came here, the building was scheduled to be completed by August, right? I think that's what they told me. September, October, November, December now. Praise God. Okay, and it's finished. But that's okay, because it is better to do it right than to leave it incomplete. And through all this, I've been seeing God's hand over everything that happens in this church. The only testimony of this church is that God is faithful to this church. He truly, truly loves this church. It's not by our own will or power. It is the goodness and the faithfulness of God towards his beloved church. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, throughout Christian history, there were some dark times as well as good times. Christians of the first century experienced harsh persecution, much like what Deacon Stephen. He went through severe persecution. He died while he was sharing the gospel, and he was martyred. Many Christians were tortured because they would not say, Caesar is Lord. During that first century, everybody was supposed to say, Caesar is Lord. But all Christians said, Jesus is Lord. Then there were times of prosperity. But when the church goes above beyond the prosperity, it turns into a religious power and eventually loses their dependence on God and focuses only on becoming a bigger church rather than an effective church. That's what happened to Roman Catholic Church when their hunger for power became political. Then the Protestant Church broke off during 14th century, and a whole new movement arose. Bible was available to everyone. You see, during Roman Catholic time, they would not share the Bible, and they preached in a language that nobody understood. Who understands Latin? But the Bible was translated, and it was available to everyone so that you could read and meditate on the Word of God. As you see, Christianity has its ups and downs. We have times of despair and times of repair. Jewish history is much the same. It went through the times of prosperity during David's reign. Okay? During King David's reign, it was very prosperous. Everyone worshiped God in the temple. They honored God. They followed the law of the Lord. But it eventually crumbled as his sons and successive kings start disobeying God, making covenants with foreign powers, importing idols, worshiping pagan gods. As God warned them through Moses, they will be scattered, okay, if they are unfaithful to him. And that is exactly what happened. And the time frame of Nehemiah is during their exile and scattered all over Persian Empire. Now, Babylon was oppressive, and they persecuted everyone that claimed their deity over Baal. You can see this in the book of Daniel. Okay, they were persecuted. But the Persian kings were different. They wanted the captives to maintain their own religion. They weren't as oppressive when it came to worshiping their own gods. Nehemiah's work during this time was important. If you listen to his prayer in chapter 1, you can sense that he represents the prayer of Israel. And he's confessing their sins, confessing the sins of Israel. You'll find in Old Testament that God truly heals a nation. God truly heals a nation when they turn from their ways and turn towards God and starts obeying him and worshiping him and honoring him. Nehemiah is asking God to bring back the exile and to be gathered in the place where Yahweh, the Lord, was once worshipped. He prays earnestly. And in chapter 2, God answers his request. Nehemiah asks King Artaxerxes a permission and a letter with his signature to grant him access to travel to Jerusalem, where the governors of that province had control over. When he arrived, in Jerusalem, his heart was broken. He looked at the city. The walls were broken, and his heart was broken. That's where today's passage starts. And he tells the men he was with, "You see the bad situation we are in? That Jerusalem is desolate. Its gates are burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach." Imagine, okay, let's say you move to another city, Chicago or New York or something. 10, 15, 20 years later, you come back to this church and the church is ruined. Your heart would be broken, wouldn't it? Even people in English ministry, they grew up in this church. The kids, they grew up in this church. Imagine 15, 20 years later, they come back. No more doors, no more windows, all broken, burned. That's what happened to England. All the beautiful buildings in England, guess what happened? It became a nightclub. They turned the church into a nightclub because there are no more people going to church. Now, Nehemiah, his vision was to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. Okay? But what does Jerusalem mean to these people? It's a symbol of God's promise. Jerusalem is the pride of Israel. It's home of Israel. This is where God's people dwell, in God's presence and under his lordship, under his love, under his care. God is the good shepherd. But because of their sin, God gave Jerusalem over to the enemies. But now God is preparing Nehemiah to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And what is unique about this project is in chapter 3. Okay, this is very unique. Okay, let me read some of the sample verses. Verse 1, "Then Eliashib, the high priest, arose with his brothers, the priests, and built the sheep gate." Verse 2, "Next to him, the men of Jericho built, and next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built." Verse 3, "Now the sons of Hasena built the Gish gate. They laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and bars." Verse 6, "Joiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshulam, the son of Besodeah, repaired the whole gate. They laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and its bars." Verse 11, "Malichiah, the son of Harim,
and Hashub, the son of Pahath Moab, repaired another section of the Tower of Furnaces. You see this in chapter 3. If you look at all of chapter 3, different families came to Jerusalem and repair the wall of Jerusalem. Now imagine this, okay? The Lin family come here and repair the door. The Shi family repair the glass. The Wang family does the roof. The Cho family lays the carpet. It goes on and on. And the names of the sons of those families are recorded in chapter 3. What God did to rebuild the walls was nothing than a miracle. The walls were not repaired and rebuilt by architects. They were not built by contractors. They were not repaired by handyman. They were not replenished by professional designers. The walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt and repaired by the sons of Israel. All these families named in chapter 3 came to Jerusalem one by one and start rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem again. Next week is a dedication service for our new building. God has granted us this new place, and we are dedicating it to the Lord. I would like to challenge you to not only think and dedicate the building, but dedicate yourselves to the Lord. Dedicate yourself to the Lord. I would like for everyone here to read the book of Nehemiah this week and pray every day for the dedication of this building. Because we can build the building, but God brings the people to fill that building. God builds the ministry. It is God who uses us to make ministry happen and fill that building. Fill this building with broken people so that they can turn to God through Jesus Christ. It is a duty of all members here, every single one of us here, to bring the broken people to this church so that we can minister to them and to fill these rooms. Nothing is more sad than an empty room. Don't you think so? So nice and beautiful, but an empty room is useless. I want to challenge all of you to rebuild the wall together with the elders and deacons and pastors of this church. How will you rebuild the wall of FPCOC? What will be your role in rebuilding and repairing the ministry? Let us pray earnestly throughout this week and pray the prayer that Nehemiah prayed. Secondly, in chapters 4 and 5 of Nehemiah shows the hardship and opposition that Nehemiah had to go through. Chapters 4, verse 1 says, "Now it came about that when Sanballat heard we were building the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews." When God's plan is worked out in God's people, there's always opposition. There's always opposition. Somebody wants to get in God's way. Somebody wants to get in the church's way. The devil works hard at bringing obstacle to us, doesn't he? He tries to lie to us, cause us to stumble. But we have to remember God's promise and provision and press on. Go forward. Let's look at chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. Okay, it says, "So the wall was completed, and the 25th of the month Elul, in 52 days, when all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations surrounding us saw it, they lost their confidence. For they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God." You see, when God does his work, God does powerful work through the ministry, the enemies shake. The enemies are scared. So we have nothing to fear. And that is our testimony, isn't it? That's our testimony, brothers and sisters. We are able to press on and continue this ministry because God is accomplishing this ministry. It is God's will, not ours. It is God's heart to save the lost. It is God's command that we reach out. It is God's plan of salvation for the community. And we are part of that plan. If you are a family of God's kingdom and a family of FPCOC, then you are part of God's plan to rebuild and to repair the walls of our ministry. What can we say to the enemy? What can we say to the devil? Get out of the way in the name of Jesus Christ. Because we are doing God's work. We can do God's work because He is with us. And the enemy will be crushed. Amen? Amen. And no opposition will withstand God's ultimate plan. And lastly, I would like this church to pray and think about the vision of this church. What is the vision? What is the mission? What is the direction of this church? Where are we going? And how will we get there? What is this ministry about? I would like all of us, even the youth group, to pray for the future of this church. Can you imagine? Okay, 5, 10, 20 years from now, how will this church look? What do you see 5 years from now? Okay, that's what you call vision. Seeing things, okay, that's far away, seeing it now. 20 years from now, but you want to see it today. That's called a vision. As we approach the year 2014, I hope we can prepare our hearts for God's direction for this ministry. Another year of God's faithfulness. All churches go through some kind of hardship, right? We all went through that. My home church, same thing. We all went through that. But only some will survive the hardship. Even mega churches, huge churches, go through hardship, but not all of them survive. I saw a famous Christian sociologist. He predicts that Christianity will plummet. It's going to fall and shrink in the membership in Korea. Okay, in the next 20 years, parents are not sending their kids to Sunday school. It's a huge problem in Korea. Okay, there are only 3% Christians among college students. And the 50% Christian population right now in Korea, it's 50% Christian population. Okay, they're all baby boomers, and they are over the age of 50. Some megachurch spent $200 million in building a project, a whole new building. But the prediction is they will not be able to pay it off because the membership will shrink by 25% in the next 10 years. This is their prediction. Why? Because their vision was only to build a physical building, but not the ministry. Because their vision was not to minister to the people, but just have a bigger building. What is the vision for our church? Let us pray that He will use all the members of this church to minister to our community, shine the light of Christ, teach the truth, heal the brokenhearted, welcome the unbelievers, heal the broken families, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as we rebuild the walls of the ministry of this church. That is God's vision of all the churches all over the world. That is God's heart. This is the first week of December. Okay, we have to ask ourselves, why did Jesus come? Why does Jesus come in a humble form? Why did Jesus come as a baby? For what purpose? He died for our sins, yes. But you see, in the book of Acts, Jesus was rebuilding the church. He was rebuilding the walls of the ministry. And where they gathered, there was fire. there was Holy Spirit working in the church. And I hope as we continue to pray and we as we wait for Christmas, we think about why Jesus came. Jesus is the good news that we can all enjoy. And I hope when everybody in our community, even among our friends, when we invite them, I pray that this church will be a place of good news as we rebuild the walls of this ministry. Amen. Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father,